Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10, Chapter entitled Bhagavatam is the Answer to All Questions, text number 42. Saevedam Jagadartha. Bhagavan Dhamma Rupatrik. Pushnati Stapayan Vishwam. Tiryanara Suradibi. Saeve Dam Jagadarta. Bhagavan Dhamma Rupatrik. Pushnati Stapayan Vishwam. Tiryanara Suradibi. Saha.
Saha.
He.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Idam.
This.
Jagadarata.
Jagadarata.
The maintainer of the entire universe.
Bhagavan.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Dhamma Rupa Trik.
Assuming the form of religious principles.
Pushnati.
Maintains.
Stapayan.
After establishing.
Vishwam.
The universe.
Tiryak. Living entities lower than the
living entities lower than the human beings.
Nara,
the human beings.
Sura Adibi,
by the demi-godly incarnations.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
He, the Personality of Godhead, as the maintainer of all in the universe, appears in different incarnations after establishing the creation, and thus He reclaims all kinds of conditioned souls amongst the human beings, the non-humans, and the demigods. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, incarnates Himself in different societies of living entities to reclaim them from the clutches of illusion. And such activities of the Lord are not limited only to the human society. He incarnates Himself even as a fish, hog, tree, and many other forms. But less intelligent persons who have no knowledge of Him deride Him, even if He is in human society as a human being. The Lord therefore says in the Bhagavad Gita, Avajananti mammuda manushim tanum ashritam parambhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. As we have already discussed in the previous verses, it is concluded that the Lord is never a product of the material creation. His transcendental position is always unchanged. He is the eternal form of knowledge and bliss, and He executes His almighty will by the different energies. As such, He is never the subject of reactions for any of His acts. He is transcendental to all such conceptions of actions and reactions. Even if He is visible in the material world, the exhibition is only of His internal energy, for He is above the good and bad conceptions of this material world. In the material world, the fish or the hog may be considered lower than the man, but when the Lord appears as a fish or a hog, He is neither of them in the material conception. It is His causeless mercy that he appears in every society or species of life, but He is never to be considered one of them. Conception of the material world, such as good and bad, lower and upper, important and insignificant, are estimations of the material energy. And the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all such conceptions. The words parambhavam, or transcendental nature, can never be compared to the material conception. We should not forget that the potencies of the Almighty Lord are always the same and do not decrease because the Lord assumes the form of a lower animal. There is no difference between Lord Sri Ram, Lord Sri Krishna, and his incarnations as a fish and a hog. He is all-pervading and simultaneously localized at any and every place. But the foolish person with a poor fund of knowledge, for want of that parambhavam of the Lord, cannot understand how the Supreme Lord can take the form of a man or a fish. One compares everything to one's own standard of knowledge. As the frog in the well considers the sea to be like the well, the frog in the well cannot even think of the sea, and when such a frog is informed of the greatness of the sea, it takes the conception of the sea as being a little greater than the well. As such, one who is foolish about the transcendental science of the Lord will find it difficult to understand how Lord Vishnu can equally manifest himself in every society of living entities. Amagyan Tivadandashya Gununjina Shalakaya Chakshur Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Pancha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhu Pievacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Prabhupada points out that Krishna, when he comes into this material world, he does not suffer from actions and reactions, which means karma. When we come to the material world, it is forced. It is not voluntary. None of us volunteer to come here. And we are forced to come here because we misused our independence. Even within Gaudiya Vaishnavism, even within our tradition, there is disagreement about the origin of the jiva. Where did we come from? Did we come from Brahman or did we come from Goloka? There is dispute, even amongst the devotees, even amongst GBC members. There's disagreement. I know GBC members who say that we come from Brahman and some say we come from Goloka. The official position of ISKCON is that we come from Goloka. So we should stick with that. Prabhupada was questioned, because everyone wants to know where do we come from. It's a natural question. All right. So Prabhupada was asked about it. So, Prabhupada's basic answer was it doesn't matter. None of us lose sleep about it. If you're in a forest and someone shoots you with an arrow, or if you're in a house and suddenly the house is on fire, you don't analyze. You don't wake up in the middle of the night, the house is on fire. You know, which room is it in? I mean, of course you do think which room is it, but you don't like analyze, like, how did the fire start? You just get out because you're in trouble. So in the same way, we're in the material world now, and we need to get out because we're suffering. Is anyone completely happy here? You can't be completely happy here. You can be in Krishna consciousness, but materially you can't be happy because the material energy is always pushing down on you. That is her nature. Dhrachaya means she makes it difficult. So, where did we come from? Prabhupada said, originally we were all Krishna conscious. If you listen to the 1966, this is the very beginning of ISKCON, Krishna Conscious Happening album, Prabhupada's first album that he recorded. And Prabhupada is reading on the album. And then Prabhupada says, originally we were all Krishna conscious. And that was the position that he maintained. Although sometimes he does contradict himself. Sometimes Prabhupada says contradictory things. Like in the third canto, he says, even the leaves do not fall from Vaikuntha. He writes that in the third canto. In other places, he said, we were all originally Krishna. So even Prabhupada makes contradictory statements. So then it becomes difficult for devotees to understand where did we come from. Ultimately, it doesn't matter so much. But Prabhupada's basic premise was that we were in Goloka. Right? And why did we leave Goloka? Because we misused our independence. Krishna gives us independence, every one of us, so that we can make choice. We have free will. Krishna, in the very first verse of Bhagavatam, says that Krishna is Swarat. Swarat means? Swarat. He's independent. God is independent. He can do whatever he wants. So we're given minute independence, minute free will or free choice. We can make choices. We have limited independence. God has unlimited independence. But we are given some independence. So we misused our independence. That was Prabhupada's explanation of how we got to this material world. It's a mistake. Right? So if we want to go back to the spiritual world, we have to change our desire. If you have a desire to stay in the material world, Krishna can facilitate that. He's doing that now. If you have a desire to go back to Krishna, he can facilitate that also. He's doing that now also. So it's up to us where we want to go. That's independence. And Krishna will fulfill our desires. You want to go back to Goloka? I will facilitate that. You want to stay in the material world? I will facilitate that. So in 1974, Srila Prabhupada was asked by Madhudwiza Prabhu, I think it was just here in Melbourne. Prabhupada was asked about, do we come from Brahman or do we come from Goloka? No. So Prabhupada said that we come from a Goloka originally. It means we come from Krishna's association. We come into the material world. And then after some time in the material world, we may go to Brahmajyoti, become Brahmavadi, and we may merge. And then after some time, we're not satisfied there, so we come back to the material world. And then if we become Krishna conscious, we go back to Goloka. So in one sense, you can say we came from the Brahmajyoti. Because maybe we did go to the Brahmajyoti. At some point in time, maybe we did go up there for a while, you know, for a brief holiday, and you know, to experience it. But then we weren't satisfied. Because why weren't we satisfied? Prabhupada says, we are social by nature. We like being with others. It's not natural to be by yourself too much. Some solitude is good. Solitude is a good thing. All devotees need solitude. We need time to introspect. We need time to be introverted, just to be by ourselves and to reflect on things. That's necessary, especially in spiritual life. It's a necessary component of spiritual life. You need time by yourself just to reflect, just to be quiet, to meditate, right? Especially when you're reading Prabhupada's books. You need to be in an environment which is undistracted. When you're chanting your japa, you need to be in a place which is undistracted. And sometimes you need to just be by yourself, just to reflect on life. A lot to think about sometimes. So we have to reflect. But in general, we are social by nature. Just like Prabhupada says that if you ever see a picture of Krishna and Krishna is by himself, that is not Krishna. Do you see any picture in this temple room where Krishna is by himself? Which one is he by himself? Yeah, when he's Paramatma, you could say he's by himself. But even in one sense, he's with everyone else, because Paramatma means he's with us now, in one sense. But always you'll see him. Like Prabhupada said, if you see Krishna, you know, standing in the middle of an ocean on a lotus flower, that's not Krishna. Krishna has no pastime where he stands in the middle of an ocean on a lotus flower. Krishna is always with the devotees. Right? And similarly, we like to always be with the devotees. That's natural. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association was like that. You see there in the picture, it is Pancha Tattva. There's five of them. Five plus Adi Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Gaura Bhakta Brinda means unlimited associates, unlimited devotees. So that is natural. So originally we were with Krishna. But then we came to the material world. Now once we're in the material world, we are bound by the material world. Now we're bound by karma. And there's only one person who can free us, and that is Krishna. If he chooses, he can free us. Okay, Maya, let them go. Let them go back to Goloka now. If Krishna gives us permission, then we can get admission They say this in Vrindavan. If you go to Vrindavan, you speak to the bridge busis who are in Loy Bazaar selling perfume and things like that. They say, no permission, no admission. In other words, you can't get into Vrindavan without permission. You can't. Right? Who is guarding Vrindavan? Who? Yeah, Maheshwara. Kshetrapal. That means Shiva. Lord Shiva is Kshetrapal, right? He guards the holy Dharma. He guards the spiritual world. Between us now in the material world and the spiritual world, Shiva is in between. Devi Dham in Brahma Samhita. Devi Dham, Mahesh Dham, Vaikuntha Dham, Hari Dham, Goloka Dham. Right? So he is in between. Right? And you can't get past him. He's all powerful. He's Mahadeva. He is Maheshwara. You can't get past him. Right? Because he's the Lord of false ego. And if he sees that you still have false ego, he doesn't let you go past. Right? You try to go past. Like, Maharaj, I'm very... Hey, like that. Back. I've seen that. I try to go to Vrindavan as often as I can. And sometimes, not sometimes, all the time when I go there, I pray to Lord Shiva. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us prayers to offer to Shiva. Shiva is incredibly important in our tradition. When you become more advanced in Krishna consciousness, you have to pray to Shiva. I pray to him every day. Right? Gopishwara Mahadeva. Right? He is the protector, Kshetrapal of the holy Nam. Right? So you pray to him, please reduce my false ego. Help me crush this false ego. Destroy it. Get rid of it for me. Help me so I can get into, one day I can be qualified to go into Vrindavan, into the spiritual world. So, you know, when I go there, I pray to him. Because he has these lingas around, Kundeshwara Mahadev and Gopishwara Mahadev. And we pray to him when we go. And we pray, please. And I notice quite often when I pray to him, straight after that, then he really said, do you really want some help? Do you really want to know what your problems are? Right, and then he shows you and you think, oh my God. I'm worse than what I thought. You know, I'm trying to get back to the spiritual world, but very difficult. So you need his permission. You can't enter the spiritual world. So we are bound in this material world. Mama maya dirachaya daivihyesha gunamayi. Mama maya dirachaya. We are bound. How do we get out? Mam eva ye prapajanti. Then you have to surrender to Krishna. Only Krishna can let us out. So how do we get Krishna's mercy? You get Krishna's mercy through the mercy of Krishna's devotees. Just like I was listening yesterday to one lecture, and Srila Jiva Goswami, in his commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, then he says that the sixth principle of bhakti, has certain qualities. Shubhada, Kleshagni, Sudulaba, Moksha Lakutakrit, Sandrananda, Visheshatma, and Sri Krishna Kashani. So Jiva Goswami comments, it's not Krishna Kashani, it's Sri Krishna Kashani. So Sri refers to? Radharani. Yeah, it refers to Radharani. And her associates. Krishna is never by himself, Radha is never by herself. So Sri Krishna, how do you conquer Krishna? Prema, or pure love of God, bhakti, it conquers Krishna. Sri Krishna, Karshini. Karshini means conquered, attracts. What is Krishna's name? Krishna. Krishna. So Karshan, what does Karshan mean? Attracts, conquers. Krishna means one who attracts. Prabhupada said one who is all attractive. Right? He attracts us. He conquers us, right? How do we conquer him? By bhakti. If you have prema, love for Krishna, you conquer him. But, Jiva Goswami points out, doesn't mean conquering Krishna only. It means you have to conquer all the devotees as well. When all the devotees bless you, when they're pleased with you, when Krishna's associates see you. And Prabhupada says this. If you try to approach Krishna directly, it is not possible. But if you approach Srimati Radharani, and you say, Radha, Here's a flower. Please offer this to your Lord, Sri Krishna. And then if Radha, she takes that flower and then she offers it to Krishna. She said, Krishna, here is a very sincere devotee. Please accept him. He is more sincere than me. Right? Then Krishna will accept us. Right? So that is the attitude every devotee must have. In order to approach Krishna, to become released from this material world, we must get blessings of the devotees. Right? And if they bless us, then Krishna will bless us and he will release us. It's all based upon recommendation. Right? Srila Prabhupada has said, if we chant 16 rounds a day, attentively, means you have to learn to chant good rounds, not good rounds. You have to learn to... But if you chant good rounds, and you follow the four regulative principles strictly, Srila Prabhupada says, you will go back to Godhead. Right? Prabhupada said that to various disciples. Right? So Srila Prabhupada even said one time, he said, if we become 70% Krishna conscious, which is not that easy in Kali Yuga, but if we become 70, Prabhupada said, I will take you back to Godhead. So that is Prabhupada's intercession. If Prabhupada blesses us, if we please him by pleasing the devotees, by pleasing our spiritual master, then we can become accepted by Krishna. We can become free from this material energy once and for all. But we must please the devotees. We must please Krishna. Prabhupada said, if you love me, love my dog. And one devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I can work with you, I can serve you, but I cannot work with them. My God brothers, your disciples. Prabhupada said, love me, love my dog. Right? You can't just serve Prabhupada or your spiritual master. You have to serve all the devotees. You have to have amiable relationships. What does Rupa Goswami say? Priti Lakshana. What does Priti mean? Yeah, it means affection. Prabhupada translates it as love. Love. You have to associate with the devotees lovingly, with affection. Prabhu, here's some prasad. Right? And then receive it gracefully, with affection. Right? If you want to conquer someone, you just give them their favorite prasad. Right? If you give me gulab jamuns, right? I'll do anything you want me to do. Right? Right? I'll do anything. Just give me. I can't control myself when I see going down. Even sometimes I see them, they're on someone else's plate. I just grab it and just eat it. I was in Fiji. I was sitting there and Mataji, she got up to go and get some. I think she got up, she was in the middle of eating, and she went to get some more prasad or something. And there's one devotee standing there. I said, give me that gulab. So he just goes, I just put it in my hand. Everyone was laughing, it was funny, but you know. But this is the point, right? If you give something with love, with affection, it is, right? Then it becomes we become very close to the other devotees. You give a gift, right? You receive a gift, right? It is more important how you receive the gift than how you give the gift, right? You can give a gift to a devotee, but how you receive that, if someone gives something to you, right, you don't just say, oh, thanks, Prabhu, and just keep walking. No, no. How you receive that? With love. Priti. Right? And then the devotee, their relationship becomes very close. I appreciate that. I appreciate that you saved me prasadam. I appreciate that you gave me a gift. And revealing the mind in confidence and inquiring confidentially. This is the most important element amongst devotees. If you want to stay a devotee for a long time, hands up if you want to stay a devotee for a long time. Hands up if you want to stay a devotee forever. Hands up, you want to stay a devotee eternally. Right? Then, you have to learn to inquire. Because if you don't become close with the devotees, you will leave ISKCON. Guaranteed. Right? Many devotees have left. Right? And this is, it's not the only reason. One of the major reasons, we don't have close relationships. So you have to inquire confidentially and reveal your mind in confidence. You know? You go up to the devotee. My Guru Maharaj said the last time he came here to Australia in 2001, or was it 2000? Beginning of 2001. Thanks, Russ. So he came beginning of 2001. It was 12 months before he left this world, right? And he said, when he arrived here in Australia, he said, the thing that we need to develop more in ISKCON is hand-holding. Right? He said we need to just sit down with the devotees and just hold each other's hands. Right? Just hold each other's hands and say, you know, how are you? Are you okay? Is there anything you need? Can I serve you? Are you doing okay in devotional service? And just hold each other's hands. Like that. He said, that's what we need in our spiritual life. If you want to stay a devotee, you need to become close to the devotees. Right? Inquire confidentially and reveal your mind in confidence. Right? And this is how we synergize. This is how our movement becomes strong. Otherwise, our movement is weak. Prabhupada's nothing can destroy us externally. Only internally this movement can be stopped. Prabhupada said this movement is based upon love and trust. He said it will go on through love and trust. So we have to be loving and trusting in devotees. So if we get the devotee's mercy, we will get Krishna's mercy. If we get Krishna's mercy, we will be liberated from the material world. Now, Krishna is not controlled by the material energy. When he comes into the material world, he's not controlled by it. We are. We're controlled, but Krishna is free. He is established this in the beginning of the fourth chapter of the Gita. Right? He says, my pastimes are under the Lila Shakti, the spiritual potency, the internal potency. Right? So what are we bound by in this material world? Who is the goddess of the material world? Durga. And what does she carry? A trident. It means a three-pronged spear. And that's a spear, and it has three. You know what a trident is, right? You know, it's got like three. You know what everyone knows? Trident, right? It's got three prongs. So what are the three prongs, right? Goodness, passion, ignorance. Right? That's how she controls everyone. Past, present, future. Right? That's how she controls everyone. It is these three varieties. Which he controls everyone in this material world. Adi Baltic, Adi Devik, Adi Yatmik, Klesh. That's how she controls everyone in the material world. And what does Durga ride upon? Yeah, lion or tiger. What does that mean? Right, if someone comes into the temple riding a lion or a tiger, what does that mean?
Scared
fears. Yeah, it means I will win. Right? If someone comes in, sometimes we have to ask people to leave the temple. Last year I was up in Prabhupada House, I was staying up in one of the rooms, and I heard some noise outside. Right? And this guy was walking, like crazy guy, making noise and saying, so I went downstairs and said, hey, out, now. I just shocked him. I just came and said, hey, out, now. Because I could see he was crazy and he was causing disturbance. He actually walked into the women's toilets. I was watching from the window and I said, okay, that's enough. So I went downstairs and said, get out, now. Right, just shocked him like that. Right? So sometimes we have to ask people to leave. If you're not behaving appropriately, you have to go. Right? Same as in the spiritual world. Why do we leave the spiritual world? Krishna says, you've got a problem. Right? So please step outside. You can come back later. It's a reformatory center. It's not hell where you go forever, but it's somewhere you have to go for a while till you reform and then you can come back. Right? But if someone comes in the temple riding a lion, right? We just say, listen, you just do whatever you want. Right? You want some prasad? Or what do you want? Right? Do whatever you want. Right? So Durga, she rides a tiger or a lion. Why? Because she will be victorious. You can't conquer her. She's all-powerful. For the living entities in the material world, she controls them. Now, how does she control? Three modes of material. Three kleshas. Right? She gives us suffering. Right? We can give classes about how we suffer. Right? Do you want me to give a class about the three kleshas? Right, and then there is past, present, and future. Right, all of us are in past, present, and future. And then there is three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Right. Now, how do we get out of the material world? You have to cultivate sattva-gun. In other words, you have to do devotional service in the mode of goodness. This is important. This is spoken about by Lord Kapila at the end of the third canto. He said there is devotional service which is tinged by the mode of ignorance. There's devotional service tinged by passion. And there's devotional service which is cultivated in the mode of goodness. And he does not favor the other two. Mode of ignorance means that you will often become angry at devotees, right? Which is not very good. Some people, they just get angry all the time. It's tamagun. And then, mode of passion, he gives different qualities, but he says mode of passion means you are a separatist. He says that about the mode of ignorance as well. But separatist means you can't work with the other devotees because you're passionate. You have to do it my way. Right? You see when devotees are arguing? Right? Because I want it my way. And no, I want it my way. Right? And then they have these big arguments. Not that, but if you're in the mode of goodness, then you can cultivate devotional service properly. One of the acharyas who commented on the Bhagavatam, there's a number of acharyas who commented, in the 11th canto, I can't remember which acharya it was, but he makes the comment that if you analyze shuddha sattva, or pure goodness, which is what the spiritual world is constituted of, and if you analyze sattva gun in this material world, he said the two are very similar. In other words, someone who's in the mode of goodness and someone who's in pure goodness, they're very similar. One time a reporter, he said to Srila Prabhupada, how will we recognize your devotees? How will I recognize your disciples? And what did Prabhupada say?
Ladies and
gentlemen. Yeah, Prabhupada said they are ladies and gentlemen. And what was Prabhupada like? He was a perfect gentleman. Right? So that is someone who is in the mode of goodness, right? You see, if you meet someone in the mode of goodness, not a devotee, but they're a gentle person, very well-mannered, very cultured, right? And you see a devotee who is like that, like Srila Prabhupada, also very cultured, very well-mannered, right? Perfect behavior, sadhacha, right? So we need to cultivate the mode of goodness. Prabhupada explains this in the Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita, in the introduction. He says that the devotees need to cultivate the mode of goodness, to rise from the mode of passion, to rise from the mode of ignorance, and then you can perform bhakti properly. And that's in the Bhakti Shastra. Prabhupada is saying that. It's one of the essential Bhakti Shastras, Upadeshamrita. Prabhupada said, you have to rise above passion and ignorance. Because in the material world, in Kali Yuga, in this point in time, we're very influenced by passion and ignorance. But if you want to rise, if you want to go back to Godhead, you have to overcome. You have to go to Shuddha Sattva, which means you have to get to Shuddha Sattva. Prabhupada says, mode of goodness is a springboard to pure goodness. So you have to cultivate the mode of goodness. There are many qualities which are there, so you can study. So if you look at the final portion of the Bhagavad Gita, right, the first portion is Karma Yoga, right? First six chapters is Karma Yoga. Chapters 7 to 11, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 7 to 12, right, is Bhakti Yoga. And then the final portion is Jnana Yoga. Now, if you analyze the final chapters, 13 especially, 14, right, is called the modes of material nature, 16, which is divine and demoniac nature, which is a division, which is very much based on the mode. 17, divisions of faith, beginning of 18, right? Most of what Krishna gives in terms of jnana in the final portion of the Gita is an analysis of the three modes of nature. And it's very beneficial for devotees to study this very carefully. I remember many years ago I studied this very carefully, this whole subject matter of the modes. I went through the whole final portion of the Gita, right, and cross-referenced it with many places in the Bhagavatam. Kapila especially analyzes it very carefully. And really understand what the modes are and what they are like. And understand what we should be cultivating, which is the mode of goodness. Right? And then we can practice devotional service effectively. Right? So, Durga, her trident is also made of past, present and future, which we discussed a couple of months ago. I mentioned it. So someone who's always in the past, they are affected by the mode of ignorance. Oh, this happened to me. Oh, that happened to me. Does that sound like your mind? This happened to me. That happened to me. Like that. Yeah, it happened to you. Like that. Doesn't mean it's easy. Well, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't address it, but yes. But if you're always living in the past, that's the mode of ignorance. And similarly, someone who's in the mode of passion, they always live in the future. Tomorrow I will have this. Tomorrow I will be wealthy. Tomorrow I will get more money. Tomorrow I will be happy. Tomorrow, 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 tomorrow. Like that. Mode of passion. Right? All the people. Right? Like right now there's a traffic jam on the Westgate Bridge. Right? Everyone's going into the city, into this world of happiness. Right? Just like, so nice. Go in there. Why? They're only tolerating that because they have Saturday and Sunday off. Right? You don't give them Saturday and Sunday off, they'll go crazy. Right? And what do we do to them on Saturday and Sunday? What do we allow them to do? Right? Intoxicate yourself, drink as much as you can, go to the football, right, and just yell, right? Get everything out of your system, all your frustration. So funny, you know, you see these guys at the football. Right? Have you ever been to the AFL matches? Right? Very high level of, you know, consciousness. You know, they're just yelling and yelling at the umpire. Just getting everything out of their system. Right? Just get it all out of your system and just drink and get intoxicated and then sleep. Right? Get into the mode of ignorance. And then that sedates your suffering. So that is the mode of passion, that is the mode of ignorance. And what is the perfection of my life? On Sunday morning I can sleep in. Till 10 o'clock or 12 o'clock. So what is that? Right? But someone in the mode of goodness, he lives now, he's in the present. You have to chant your japa, because japa is our main anga of bhakti, chanting the holy name. You have to chant your japa in the mode of goodness, which means now, which means you have to be present with the holy name. If you're chanting your japa but your mind is in the past, which happens a lot of the time, right? You're chanting but you're thinking about something that happened yesterday, and then you're chanting, you're thinking about something you'll do tomorrow. You don't get the benefit of the chanting. Right? The chanting means you have to be present now. Right? That is the mode of goodness. That is how you progress in bhakti. And that's why, of the three types of chanting, japa, kirtan, and sankirtan, sankirtan is the most powerful. Because it's hard to be in the kirtan, right? If you're really absorbed in the kirtan, like we're dancing and chanting, like we were before, you can't really be thinking about tomorrow. You can't really be thinking about yesterday. You have to be thinking about right now. You have to be absorbed in the holy name. That's why sankirtan is the supreme process. Right? It's more powerful than japa. Right? Unless you're advanced. If you're advanced, it's all equal. But generally, we have to do sankirtan. But if you want to progress in your japa, learn to chant now. Right? It means you have to chant in sattva-gun. And when is sattva-gun? Sattva-gun is Brahma Muhurta. It means before the sun rises. Right? It's much easier to concentrate. If you get up late and you start chanting after breakfast, much harder to control your mind. Does anyone have that experience? Okay, one person, thank you very much. It's true. So therefore we have to cultivate devotional service in the mode of goodness. Then we will get the result. So Krishna comes to this material world, he is unaffected. We come to the material world, we're completely bound. If we want to get out of this material world, we have to practice devotional service properly, attract Krishna's mercy, right? And then if we get a recommendation, then we can go back to the spiritual world. So we'll stop here, see if there's any questions or comments from what we have discussed. Sound incarnation. Yeah, so that's a different type of incarnation. I don't understand the question. Abhinitva nama namano. No difference between name and... It's his name. There's no difference. So it is Krishna. Kali kali nama rupe Krishna avatar. It is him. It is no different. Yeah. So how do you understand that the holy name is Krishna? Because it is Krishna. Right? Nija Sava Shakti, this means all of the potency is invested in the name. So, do you understand? That's the answer. It's non-different. Nam, nam, and all. A name and the person, they're not different. Same. Is that what you're asking? Does that...
Seven incarnations come for a specific purpose.
Different incarnations come for different purposes. Mm. Yeah. So why does the holy name come?
Holy name is a specific purpose to
Kali Yuga. No, the holy name's in every yuga. Yeah, what do you think they do in Dwapara Yuga? In Dwapara Yuga, you think that they're like, oh, what was the name of God? So, holy name is there in every yuga. You know, whenever you say Krishna, if you're in Satya Yuga, and you say Krishna, if you're in Treta Yuga, you say Ramachandra, if you're in Dwapara Yuga, right, and you say Nisringhadev, right, you're in Kali Yuga. But in Kali Yuga, it is the only process which will deliver you. Satya Yuga, you meditate. In Treta Yuga, you do Yogya. In Dwapara Yuga, you worship the deity. But those processes are not powerful enough generally for the populace or the people in Kali Yuga to become perfect. Therefore, the Yuga Dharma, I mean, people chant the holy name. They do kirtan in every yuga. But in this yuga, right, it is the preferred method, is the most powerful method to purify the consciousness. But they do kirtan. I mean, Satya Yuga, there's kirtans going on. Dwapara Yuga, there's kirtans going on. But it's not the yuga, that means it's not the prominent method of God realization. That's all. Does that answer? Okay. Any other question? I just said Sankirtan is supreme. Sankirtan means together. Japa means silently. Kirtan means by yourself. Sankirtan, Samakirtan means everyone together. That is the most powerful. Yeah, you can. You can pray to Lord Shiva. Generally, because he's one of the 12 Mahajans, which I mentioned like that. So it means it's worship of the previous acharyas. Generally, in the beginning of spiritual life, we pray to Sri Guru. We pray to the spiritual master. The spiritual master will give you everything. For the disciple, he is the Ashraya Vigraha. He is the form of God who gives us shelter. So that is enough. But when you become more advanced and you read the scriptures and you understand more about our philosophy and our tradition, then you may begin to worship other personalities, Brinda Devi, right, and Yogamaya Purnamasi, and Mahadev, Lord Shiva, like that. But you do this under the guidance of Guru. Right? You might read something or become inspired by something. You go to your spiritual master, you say, is it okay if I do like that? Just like one senior devotee, they gave me an instruction many years ago. They said, worship Brinda Devi. Right? So then I went to my guru. I wrote to my spiritual master, is that okay that I worship Brinda Devi? He said, yes, you can do it. Like that. So everything we do is under the guidance of guru. Like that. So in the beginning you worship guru. If you become inspired, then you check with guru and then he will guide you how to. Is that okay? Okay. Any other question? Become expert. What's 26 qualities of the devotee? One of the qualities is daksha. Right? So become expert. Right? One devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I am a fool. Prabhupada said, yes. But do not remain a fool. So become expert. Become good at serving the devotees. Devotees are very kind. They probably won't take offense, you know, if you make some mistake in the service. Like, you know, when I used to serve my spiritual master, I don't think he was offended by my mistakes, but he was upset. He said, "Hey, come on, you know, get your act together." Like that, he would, like that. So devotees are like that. Devotees are intense. Why? Because they want to purify your consciousness. So if you make some mistake, then become expert. Learn. If you make the mistake, don't do it again next time. You know, I made mistakes when I served my guru, but then as soon as he pointed that out, then next time, okay, I've got to do it like this. So don't remain a fool. Improve. Guru becomes happy, and devotees become happy when they see you progressing. Right? So don't make the same mistakes all the time. Prabhupada, if someone made a mistake the first time, he'd become angry. Like that. If they did it the second time, become very angry. If they did it the third time, he would just be disgusted. Like, what are you? What is this? Like that. So get your act together. And you're just going to walk around being this neophyte devotee, like, you know, for your whole life. Like, right. Do something practical. Become expert, daksha. But at the same time, become humble. I don't think, oh, now I'm expert. It doesn't work like that. So you have to be both. Is that okay? Any other question? Okay. Srila Prabhupada.